Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce Garner Ted Armstrong of Ambassador College with The World Tomorrow. In this series of programs, we will tell you something of the problems of the world today, how they will affect you, and their solution in The World Tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, Garner Ted Armstrong.
For 40 years now, we've been producing the Plain Truth magazine and sending it free of charge to listeners and viewers all over this entire earth and in five languages. I was only 4 years of age when the very first Plain Truth magazine came out, so I really don't remember very much about it, although the circulation was about 250 copies at that time, and there was a radio broadcast in connection with it, which began in January of 1934. On, I believe, a 100-watt. I think they had 100-watt radio stations back then. Maybe they still do. A radio station up in Eugene, Oregon. And as I say, I was 4 years of age, so I remember very little about it because it was done by my father, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. But as I grew up in Eugene, Oregon, going to high school, and later on came down to the Southern California area when my parents moved down here with the idea of beginning college, I was gradually more and more edgy about my father's religion. As I think most young people, if they discover their father is a preacher or a minister, no matter what the church, and a lot of young people do tend to rebel, it doesn't matter whether their father is a garage mechanic or a college professor, at about age 16, we all tend to think we know more than our parents, and at age 17, we're sure of it. Actually, I'm just kidding, of course. It takes us to about age 25 or 30 before we decide otherwise, and sometimes 40 or 45 to look back and really understand what teenage was all about. But about 1947, as I was getting out of high school, I was increasingly disgusted with the entire configuration of my life and the religious backdrop of a struggling small church with a very small college underway, just getting established in that year, and I decided to run away from home, and the only way I could see to do it, because I wanted to get out from under authority, was to join the Navy. And so I joined the Navy. Well, that was during the Korean War, which came along just shortly thereafter, as you remember, in the Harry Truman administration. I originally signed up for 3 years, and I was stuck with an extra one. So it ended up being a four-year term, after which time I came back to Ambassador College, which was then quite a growing institution. I'm going to pursue this subject from the personal point of view rather than just the historical point of view, because that's the part that I'm most familiar with, is the way I myself became gradually involved. And when I first did the radio and the television programs and what's been happening ever since. But first about the plain truth. Back in 1934, about 250 hand-done copies cranked on an old Neo style, which is a predecessor of a mimeograph machine, were sent out hand-printed and hand-addressed by my father and mother from a tiny office up in Eugene, Oregon, to people basically in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. And then, gradually, as the radio program grew to Portland, Oregon, then Seattle, finally down to old KMTR in Hollywood, where it went daily, and eventually upon some of the Mexican stations and then other super power 50,000-watt stations in parts of the United States, it gradually became national in scope. And by 1958, at which time I had been out of the Navy for about about 6 years, the Plain Truth magazine had grown from 250 copies to 175,000, and we were already international in radio program in stations around the periphery of Europe, in Africa, down in Australia, the Philippines, and beginning, of course, on Radio Luxembourg in 1953, in January of that year. By 1960, the Plain Truth had grown to about 210,000 circulation. By 64, 400,000. By 1965, our very first color cover came along, and we began with that February 1965 edition, the 31st anniversary of the Plain Truth magazine, and then July 1967, we finally passed the 1 million circulation mark. It was August 69, we passed the 2 million circulation mark, and you've got to say something about that magazine when you conceive of a work which has gradually grown from the very smallest of scopes, the tiniest beginning, up in the Willamette Valley of Oregon, to become a globe-girdling effort. And this magazine of this type quality, which I advertise continually, of course, on this program, radio as well as television, finally in 1973, I believe we were over 3 million there for a time. Now, we try to renew, but there is no subscription price. It's already been paid, as we say, for the Plain Truth magazine. And now this issue of October of 1973 begins with a personal After the overleaf, a description of the contents and how the subscription has been paid. This article on the cracks in the Atlantic Alliance is fairly typical of some of the type material in the Plain Truth magazine. This one written by the head of our news bureau, who travels continually, going to Europe, Brussels, to Paris, to London, to Rome, and to Washington, D.C. to gain material. As long as we continually are keeping in touch with our overseas news areas of our own, our overseas offices, and maintain our own news bureau, we're very, very well informed, and our readers are thus well informed. This was a conversation with a man who served as U.S. Ambassador to the European Community of the Common Market for about 6 years, about who speaks for Europe. And that's a question and answer type of an article you might see in many news type magazines. This one on what Europeans think of America. This just happens to be one copy I had here on the desk to pick up and page through with you. And this is a very important article because I asked for a special on Europe for that particular month, and that's what we did. We went behind the common market, right into the homes of people in Paris and in London, some of the capitals of Europe. This one showing you about housewives in Europe that have the same kinds of problems we do. $1.71 per pound, for example, in the common market for meat, and even more. This article looking into the 1980s and what is happening right now of when Europe's lights go out. And this was written late in 73. We were talking about the energy crisis, of course, even years before that. In this particular issue, there was also an article on Russia and the United States. A Plain Truth photographer was there when President Nixon and Communist Party Chief Brezhnev met at San Clemente. This article, Can Russia and the U.S. Really Get Along? Others like this in every single edition of the Plain Truth magazine today, so it's grown quite away from a little 1934 hand-cranked mimeographed paper of sorts called, dignified by the term, magazine. It was in November 4th of 1969 we purchased a big P50 Goss web-fed press, the capacity to print 40,000 16-page signatures every single hour. And then by 1973, to give you a quick picture of what happened last year, 3,600,000 pieces of mail processed at Pasadena alone, a solid 57% increase over the preceding year. 51,164 letters received in one day recently, our all-time record. 760,000 people wrote in last year for the very first time, and the telecast prompted 132,000 of them. 21,000 wrote in response to the summer specials we did. 7 million pieces of literature went out from the post office here in Pasadena, California, in addition to the millions of Plain Truth magazines every single month. That's over and above the millions of Plain Truth magazines, 7 million pieces of literature. All of it absolutely free of charge with no subscription price. It's done in a rather miraculous fashion. People want to know, well, what's behind it? Who funds it? Where does the money come from? Exactly what are you? What is your involvement with the college? Is there a church behind it? In just a moment, I'll come back and answer those and other questions.
The World Tomorrow program is radio in a different dimension, covering subjects that are interesting, exciting, even controversial. It's part of the worldwide educational effort of Ambassador College, designed to educate all people of all ages and levels in the home. Ambassador College takes the constant flood of world news and puts it into true perspective. Ambassador College also publishes a variety of timely magazines and booklets in America, England, and Australia, written to give you a better understanding of world news, consumer information, family relations, science, religion, and other fields of vital interest. And it's free. An educational service in the public interest. The foundational basis for this entire educational program is explained in the colorful, informative booklet, This is Ambassador College. Write for your free copy today. The title again, This is Ambassador College. Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales.
There used to be a fair amount of perplexity in many people's minds about just what we are. As a matter of fact, the type of programming I would far rather do, which makes the Bible come alive in today's world news by looking at Bible prophecy, by seeing trends, curves, and conditions, whether we're talking about the population explosion, about impending drought and famine, whether we're talking about the global eco-crisis that we all really are participating in, whether it's for the moment an energy crisis, or whether it's a fuel or a food crisis, or whether it's a crisis of economies in the world, I look at it from the point of view of Bible prophecy. I would far rather talk about what's happening now than talk about the dimly lit interiors of churches where little old ladies in gray felt hats stare at the flies in the back of some other little old ladies' gray felt hats, where people are sitting listening to the intoning voices of ministers talking about a cherished text or quoting poetry or talking about the inner you or love or something of this nature, all of which lead some people to confuse what they hear on this program called The World Tomorrow on Radio as being a kind of a mixture of religion and news. Many people begin to think it's a news commentary only. Other people, if they hear just a purely religious type of subject, think it's a religious program only. As a matter of fact, that confusion has led some television stations to have to put a disclaimer there, lest I be mixed up or confused with some of their regular newscasters. Well, in one way, I am a newscaster, because I believe Jesus Christ was a newscaster. And I believe that he looked down beyond his day into ours and foretold exactly what is happening to the United States of America today, and for that matter, to all the rest of the world. Well, now back into some of the questions that people ask as a result of a certain amount of this type of confusion. It's true the program is different. We do teach and believe different things than some other people do. We're not in the mainstream of recognized Protestant evangelical Christianity. That's all very true. Of course, in our day and age, you can be practically anything and be very respected, and that includes being a church of Satan the devil. Well, there is a church called the Church of God, which is the worldwide Church of God, that is behind Ambassador College as the founding body. People ask, well, where does the money come from to supply, to support this program, spending more than $6 million in media every single year? Where does the money come from to maintain three college campuses? One in England, near St. Albans, that's in the Brickettwood area, about 19 miles north of London. One in Big Sandy, Texas, about 100 miles approximately east of Dallas. And one here in Pasadena, California. Plus maintain offices all around the world. As I said, media is only one part of it. A tremendous stream of booklets is why people wonder. Now, I've had to do with some of these, of course. Some of them I've written. Some of them I've had to do with indirectly. Some of them I have not written. Don't write for all of them right now. If some of you see you want to write for, you're welcome to. But please don't ask me to send you the whole package of them. This book was a part of a master's thesis I did. It's a very boiled down, easily readable, The Plain Truth About Childbearing. As a matter of fact, I understand Dr. Benjamin Spock admits now that there were some errors in his way of thinking. Well, this booklet was at about the time a lot of that type of teaching was coming out and is rather in violent disagreement with some of it. So I'm very happy that Dr. Spock has said that recently. I wrote that one. This one on the real Jesus was an interesting project of mine that I waded through, and I've also preached a lot of sermons on the subject in public. And maybe you've heard some of those. It had to do with the aftermath of the Jesus People Revolution, as it is. This question, did God create a devil, is asked by a lot of people. And so we have a book on that subject, The Plain Truth About Easter. I advertise that usually seasonally. This booklet is a little bit out of date now. It needs to have some update because it was backed a few years about who will rule space. The one on the crucifixion was not on Friday. That's a kind of a weird belief of ours, but we can prove it from the Bible. Or if you say, we think we can, that's fine. We're sure we can. And if you read this booklet, you may think we can. This one I also wrote, Your Marriage Can Be Happy. A booklet about marriage, about courtship and dating, and the rules and laws that regulate a happy marriage. The booklet on Why We Are Here, Why Were You Born by My Father. This booklet on Do You Have an Immortal Soul, the one about all about water baptism. Another one on the resurrection crucifixion story. And one on Is There a Real Hell Fire? This is a fairly late booklet. We've advertised it many times, and I intend doing a whole series on this very interesting subject as a result of the Exorcist movie of such fantastic fame recently, on the occult explosion, and what does it mean? The booklet on famine, Can We Survive? This booklet, by the way, another one that I had a great deal to do with, and it has a great deal of material that I have used continually in programs, telecasts that we have done on the subject of famine. The one on ending your financial worries, the booklet on pollution, which reminds me of a great lengthy series that we did on the subject of pollution in past telecasts and on radio broadcasts. You can see there's an awful lot of material here. I don't have by any means all of the booklets available. This one on hippies, hypocrisy, and happiness back during the explosion of the hippie movements. The one that is still extant and very important on the world crisis in agriculture. The one on crime. And this booklet that is particularly important, I believe, about the destruction of the American spirit that I wrote following heavy research into the Korean and Vietnam Wars. It's entitled To Kill a People. And these booklets we send out by the millions, as I have said, free of charge every single year. Enough booklets to pile up higher than a 6,000-foot mountain every single year. But we do it free of charge. Now, they are quality material, thoroughly researched, I hope in most cases, well written. And if I have not written quite so well in some of them, you can blame me. But most of them are a combination of our research and editorial staff. We have a very large staff, obviously, to do this kind of a job. We have this new booklet that I've been advertising continuously in our series on the energy crisis, which very recently, I'm sure you've seen many programs on the energy crisis. You can have this one. And we'll have new material coming along in the Plain Truth magazine almost every single month as we discuss the pros and cons of the Arab oil embargo, whether it's going to be turned on again, the Alaskan pipelines, whether the oil companies are guilty of overstockpiling, the absence of the construction of new refineries, and the absence of the incentive because of the amount of money available for it. This booklet on earthquakes followed the earthquake of a couple of years ago in California when we did a special TV series with our own cameras on the spot that told the story as apparently none of the news media really did. It was far greater than many people thought. Where does the money come from to support it all? I've heard everything in the rumor mill from Howard Hughes to Las Vegas gamblers to little old ladies in Pasadena down to the John Birch Society. People have called us Nazis. They've called us communists. I enjoy that. I think that that's funny as all get out. And I think people have to have that. I think they need it because it's a thing in life that we just have to have. If that's our thing, if we're commie buffs, you know, we see commies behind every bush, then anyone that we disagree with, anybody that we don't understand, we tend to call a commie. Well, it's rather alarming to me in one sense to see that kind of near insanity that grips human minds. But on the other hand, in our vast system of checks and balances, there are enough of us, apparently, that can still think rationally. The people who do wallow in the rumor mill are eventually exposed for exactly what they are. Well, there is a church behind the Ambassador Colleges and this program. It's called the Worldwide Church of God. Its members are baptized in an immersion ceremony exactly as our Baptists, and I guess there are other churches that practice that as well. And they are bona fide baptized members. And like the Mormon Church, and like, in that way of thinking, all churches really, we practice the biblical doctrine of tithing. And that means that about 85 to 90% of all of the total support for the entire globe-girdling work, of which this is one part, is supported directly by the tithe-paying membership of the Worldwide Church of God, which means that about that remaining 12 to 15, it may vary, percent, would come in by voluntary contributions from people, unsolicited, who frankly, and I think it's obvious to see that while there is no intent that that is what happens, it is obvious that it would happen, that when people become involved in subjects that are so vitally important to their own personal lives, whether it's their marriage, their home, whether it's a question of morality, a question of agriculture, a question of a doctrinal nature, they receive food. I mean good meat to really sink their teeth into and to think about that in many ways can alter and change their lives for the better. Sometimes people voluntarily contribute, but that is not the aim of the program, as you so well know. And in all of the public meetings that we have had, that includes some of the personal campaigns from which I make those summer specials, we never take up collections. There is not any request for literature in any of these booklets. I'm sorry, request for money. When you see something like this little tab, it says free 3 months introductory subscription to the Plain Truth magazine. But unlike some types of literature, where you will see this envelope and it has on the back a kind of a check form or something, it urges you to get on the bandwagon and support that particular point of view or to support that literature. None of the literature we send out does that, and that includes the Plain Truth magazine. And it's going to include this anniversary number, which will give you an in-depth look statistically of just how far we have come in this whole globe-girdling work in 40 years' time.
While people struggled through the Depression, the Plain Truth was warning about European nationalism. When everyone sighed with relief at the end of World War II, the Plain Truth was predicting the Middle East crisis. When Korea dominated the headlines, the Plain Truth was forecasting the formation of the common market. When the space race captured the world fancy, the Plain Truth was covering trade war and the rise of Japan, future super giant. The Plain Truth magazine examines everything from world events to family life in the light of Bible prophecy. History written in advance. To keep ahead of today's world trends, write for your free subscription to the Plain Truth magazine. After 39 years, still ahead of its time. Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales.
This is the cover of that very first edition of the Plain Truth magazine. Is a world dictator about to appear? The answer was yes. Of course, this was written in 1934, and by now, through hindsight, we know exactly who that world dictator was. Actually, you could say there were three of them, in a sense, if you want to look at all three of the Axis powers together, but certainly Adolf Hitler was what was intended in that article. That was written in 1934. It was viewed from biblical prophecy. There's a strange thing that happened back about that time. My father, in looking into Bible prophecies about the Middle East, the Near East, the Middle East, looking at the area of Palestine, at what was happening in Europe, trying to understand the 4th and 7th chapters of Daniel, together with the 13th and 17th chapters of the book of Revelation about the mysterious beasts that seem to emerge out of the sea, which means multitudes or masses of people, to understand that there was going to come a dictatorship that would emerge in the same general area of the ancient Roman Empire, which all Bible commentaries understand is meant by that fourth beast of Daniel, the 7th chapter. All of them understand that, but what they don't seem to understand is that there were prophesied to be 7 successive stages or revivals of that same basic system down through history. Well, my father got onto that. You may disagree with it, but at any rate, at that specific time in world history, he was predicting the rise of some colossus in Central Europe, which would threaten the United States and possibly could have had the potential for the destruction of the United States. Now, believe it or not, at the precise time it became clear to that man way back when I was so young that Adolf Hitler was not going to succeed, when General Montgomery began to turn the tide in North Africa and drive Rommel back away from the very gates, as it were, of Alexandria, Egypt, it appeared like there was a vast global conspiratorial pincers movement from the Japanese on the one hand and the Europeans allied together, that is, Nazi Germany and Italy on the other hand, to meet right in the Middle East. That would have certainly looked like, to any student of Bible prophecy at that time, that major prophecies of the Bible were about to be fulfilled. He thought they were. When it became obvious he was in error, he admitted that, he knew it, he thought, no, it's not going to happen now, but it's going to happen nevertheless. And so he began predicting right in 1944 and 5 that Germany would rise again to become a great power with which the entirety of the world would one day have to reckon. Well, you know, world leaders, some of them, Sir Winston Churchill, said 50 years, others said never. When they looked at the fantastic destruction of those German cities during that day, when people went over there, my father did in 1947, when it was still just so much rubble following that devastating winter of 1946, with those German people grubbing up roots of the trees in some of the public parks to burn for fuel, people thought that certainly Europe is going to be prostrate for years to come. And little by little, they began to call it a modern miracle. Now, of course, I know that Marshall Plan aid and American equipment, American technology, American assembly line processes to completely rebuild the miracle of Western Europe's heartland of industry had a great deal to do with it. But the point is that at that time, the message was Germany will rise again. She will someday become once again an enemy of the United States of America. We don't quite yet see that happening yet, do we? Or do we? But we are still predicting if that's the point on this program. Well, back to a little bit of the personal aspect of it. When I got out of the Navy, I came back and I was living at home because it was rent-free, it was good beer and cigarette money and so on. I was knocking around Hollywood, knocking on doors, trying to sell from door to door to a product that was practically worthless that I won't identify. But at any rate, I wanted to develop in different ways, singing, whatnot, and so I signed up for a few minimal classes at Ambassador College. But I was faced with some unanswerable questions that I came to in the Bible class. I was required, if I wanted to keep my job, which gave me $37.50 a week at that time, on the campus, to attend a minimum, it was called a special student, I think, but a minimum of about 8 or 10 hours, whatever it was, I forget now, it was back in 1952 in the fall of that year. And so I did so, and I simply came headlong into some unanswerable biblical problems. And this time I began searching church literature other than anything my father had ever written, and I tried to find answers in other areas, even from some of the leading, most respected Protestant and Catholic and so on leaders of various churches in this country. I failed to do so, and the more I studied my Bible itself, the more I began to be able, or unable, I should say, to answer some of the questions that I saw in some of the things that my father was teaching and those who were with him in the work. Well, gradually, I became a part of it. I was baptized as a member of the church in early 1953, and I was ordained about two and a half years later. I began to do a television program, as a matter of fact, as a guest, talking about child rearing and child psychology, and only a very few minutes appearing as a guest on my father's 26 TV programs that he did back in the year of 1955. I was 25 years of age. By 1958, I was doing the radio program almost full-time, and have been almost ever since, with very few exceptions, when my father has done some programs from time to time or an anniversary program from time to time. I believe now that there have been more than 3,000 some odd hundred radio programs and about 500 or 600, I guess, telecasts along my back trail somewhere, which is a little bit of talking at any rate, and of course a few hundreds of sermons and an awful lot of hours of teaching, college classes and the like in between. Well, the entire story of how all that happened, what is going on in the work right now today, the history, the college, of the current conditions in the world and this work as viewed from those conditions and where we are today, is going to be in this special souvenir edition of the 40th anniversary of the Plain Truth magazine. Now, this is not the February 1974 edition. It's a special one we wanted to get up in addition to that February 74 edition to give all of you who may have certain curiosities about us, about what's behind this, about where we were before, about why we're doing what we do, and to answer as many questions as we possibly can. There are also a couple of booklets, one of them entitled This Is the Worldwide Church of God, that takes you right through a history of the development of the work, all about it worldwide, of a unique church that has found a solution to world's ills. It goes through the story of some of the philosophical beliefs and the spiritual beliefs about the Church of God, the Worldwide Church of God, why it is called what it is, what its growth patterns have been in the past, what it is doing today, and all about it. The project and the program that is the Worldwide Church of God is in a colorfully illustrated brochure called This Is the Worldwide Church of God. If you want to know about the body that is behind the World Tomorrow radio and television program, the Garner Ted Armstrong television program, and of course the many brochures, booklets, articles, and the magazines you receive, write for that booklet, This Is the Worldwide Church of God. They, after all, are the people who underwrite the entire worldwide thrust of this work, this campaign or crusade for sanity, as we call it, that is straight from the shoulder, hard-hitting, punchy talk about the real, meaningful issues that confront every single one of us every single day. And while you're at it, write for the booklet, This Is Ambassador College. Now, this is more of a picture booklet than anything else. It is absolutely loaded with full-color pictures of all three of our college campuses. Not only buildings, but pictures of people hard at work in the many facets of this program, including the radio television complex. You'll see pictures of students at work and at play, pictures illustrating the Jerusalem Dig, pictures from inside the radio and television studios while work is actually in progress, from inside many of our offices. And you will be taken, as it were, on a pictorial tour of the very inner workings of this entire radio and television effort and the printing program effort, the booklet on the Worldwide Church of God and the college. And all you need to do is to request it by sending your letter to Post Office Box 345, Sydney, New South Wales. Be sure to tell us the call letters of your station. We need that. That's all. There is no cost, but tell us the name of the radio station to which you've been listening, the call letters, and then send your letter to Box 345, Sydney, New South Wales. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have been listening to The World Tomorrow. If you would like more information, write to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO, Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO, Sydney, New South Wales.